worship and all my praise. I just don't give him a little bit. I give him all the glory. I give him all the praise. Hallelujah. I can hear James Cleveland say, Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. How many of y'all feel like that? That Jesus. I don't know who Gladys Knight was singing about, but when I sing it, I'm singing about Jesus. Amen. We thank you for coming out to the house of prayer one more time. Not that you're doing God a favor, because that's our reasonable service. Amen. Amen. That's what we should be doing as Christians. Coming out to the house of prayer one more time to give God the thanks and to give God the glory. But not only that, to encourage our sisters and brothers in Christ, amen? Because the world don't love us. Amen. World don't care nothing about us. But when we come here together, we can get encouragement to go another step, amen? We thank another opportunity to preach God's word. We thank Pastor Will in his absence, but I know he's somewhere around. Amen. Yeah. Amen. And I thank y'all for coming and singing Zion songs unto the Lord. So let's get to God's business. We're coming from Matthew chapter 8. That's Matthew chapter 8. 14 and 15. When you have it, say amen. Let us read together when you have it. You might have another version, but that's all right. You have it, say amen. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife, mother-in-law, lay and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. God's word is already blessed. Let's say it one more time. When Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. Thank you. Amen. The title of my message this morning is The Power Over a Fever. Amen. Anybody ever been sick? The power over a fever. God, thank you, Lord, for another opportunity. We give you the praise, Lord. Do what you do well, Lord, to encourage your people, Lord, and to give us encouragement to keep on going in Jesus' name. And we thank you. Amen. The book of Matthew was written by a tax collector. It records that Jesus came to Peter's house and he saw a need. It's also recorded in Mark chapter 1, verse 29 and 31, and Luke chapter 4, 38 and 39. Verse 14 says, and when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick with a fever. I like that because it said that when Jesus came into the house, he saw a need. How many of us today, we come into people's house, we come into people's presence, and we see a need that needs to be fulfilled, amen? We might ask, why was she sick? We all suffer from infirmities of the flesh due to sin-cursed world, yet we as Christians needs God's healing touch. Yet I'm still pleading the blood against all sickness and diseases. Even though I understand he doesn't have to heal all sicknesses, but one thing I know, church, and you know, that he's able. Many times I'll go through hospital rooms, I go to the hospital, I see so many laying on sick beds, and I say, Jesus, why? Why you can't do anything for these people, Lord? And I just grieve in my heart, not knowing, not doubting, but knowing that he's able, amen? It says, but one sickness that I'm proud about, that he died on the cross and he bore our sins on the cross. Anybody glad that he bore your sins on the cross? It says, when Jesus invited into your house, or your soul, something is bound to happen. He comes in and meets the needs that's before him. How many glad when Jesus, when you called on Jesus, he came to your rescue? How many know that when you change your house routine, when your soul got changed, things changed in your house, things changed in your soul, amen? It says, how many times me, you, and I have seen a need and did nothing about it. It reminds me of the time when my mother said, don't you see the trash over there? You might think it's funny, but it was a need for me to take out the trash. And she was saying the same thing I'm saying. Why you didn't see the need that the trash is overflowing and it's all on the ground, and you didn't take the trash out? What need does Jesus need to work out for you? He's willing and waiting and has the power and authority to do something about all our needs. He has the power to heal our sin-sick souls. He said that in no wise will he cast you out if you cry unto him. Amen. It says that he touched her hand. What I'm trying to display is that there's the power of the touch by Jesus. There's a fire. There's a fire that meets divine favor and the results of being touched by Jesus in the ministry of serving others. But this section says it was a power of being touched by Jesus. The power of touch is very intimate. Have you ever touched your girlfriend's hand and some fire came through your hand? Have you ever touched your wife's hand and some fire came through your hand and y'all started looking at each other's kind of goo-goo eyed? You know, that's the power of the touch. That's the power of intimacy. It's a touch by Jesus that brings transformation. It's a touch by Jesus that brings restoration. There's a touch by Jesus that brings deliverance. There's a touch by Jesus that brings healing. There's a touch by Jesus that brings breakthrough. There's a touch by Jesus that brings blessing. There's a touch by Jesus that brings renewal and confidence in God's promises. There's a touch by Jesus that brings deliverance for your soul. How many need a touch from Jesus for their transformation, for renewal? And even if you're not saved, you're seeking the Lord to be saved, amen? Because soul salvation is the most critical thing in a believer's life or a sinner's life. They need a touch that will save their soul. It says, when a fever meets divine fire. When you got a fever, you all covered up and you're sweating and you're hot. Your temperature goes up to 100 degrees. But the Lord was showing me that even though a fever may be upon you, God's power is stronger than the fever. When heat meets fire. Daniel 3:16. The king said, I see four men loosed in the fire, walking in the midst of the fire. No one is hurt. And the form of the fourth one looks like the Son of God. It was probably a divine appearance by Jesus. We don't know. But one thing I know is that when they heated up the fire, God's fire was greater than his fire. Amen? And that's how the devil does us. He heats up the fire in our lives to make us want to quit, to make us don't want to do nothing. But don't you know, when you call on the Holy Ghost, he'll come in. He'll come in and put their fire out. It says Leviticus 6:13 said, God wants to place an ever-burning fire in your heart that never goes out. I remember Eddie James singing a song, may the fire on my altar never go out. But in this Old Testament text, it was the sacrificial altar where God said this fire must always be on. And just like our lives, we don't want to be Christians that be on fire today and be cold tomorrow. We want that fire to always be burning strong in our lives, so that we can be a blessing to someone else. It says that there's a natural fire. In the natural, it's called eternal flame. Eternal flame in the natural is something similar to John F. Kennedy, what he has in Washington, D.C. It's in the ground, and it's being supplied by gas. But see, the eternal fire we have is not supplied by gas, but it's supplied by eternal Father. It says natural is called eternal flame supplied by gas, or volcanic gas, like if the Kennedy's flame in Washington, D.C. We must keep the fire burning and stay on fire for God. We have to stir up the flames. Anybody need to be stirred up this morning? You know, sometimes the embers get cold, like on the barbecue grill. You got to stir the coals up. And that's the way in our lives we have to stir our spiritual soul to stay on fire. When we see that we're getting cold, that we getting aloof, that we getting distance from the things of God, God wants to stir us up. But preacher, how do God want to stir me up? How do I go about being stirred up by God? How do I stir up my faith? It says we stir up our faith by prayer, worship, and meditation of the scripture, and sitting in the presence of God by building up your most holy faith. The eternal flame of his presence of the Lord is always with you. You should never feel like God is so distant. It says, and then she got up. She got up, y'all. That's a shout right there. She got up after Jesus touched her. She got up. How many of y'all got up after Jesus touched you and you start running for the Lord? Amen? It says, and just like she got up, we can also get up. Psalms 118:17 say, I shall not die, but to live to declare the works of the Lord. Amen. I shall not die. We got work to do. We got work to do. We need all hands on deck. But God is not going to force us to do the work. A lot of times I think about one of my preacher friends said, we got too many no's for Jesus. No, Lord, I don't want to do that. No, Lord, I'm not doing that. No, Lord, I know I'm supposed to be preaching. No, Lord, I know I'm supposed to be serving. No, everything is a no. God is tired of our no's. I know sometimes it affected me, because sometimes Pastor Will would ask me, do you want to go forward? Then what I say? Somebody called it, amen. But you know, But then when I heard that we should have no no's for Jesus, I got excited. Why I keep saying no? And then it says that the ministry she had, it became that she started serving them. After she got healed, y'all, she started serving. After she was healed, it says, and then she got up, not slowly, but the text and other versions say, immediately she got up, started serving God. What can you do for God this morning? After God has been so good to you, he saved your soul, he filled you with the Holy Ghost, you love the Lord, what can we do? What can you do to serve God and to serve others? It's not all about preaching all the time, but it's something that God has placed in you to do for him that you need to get in a hurry and do it immediately. And stop telling God no. If God has done anything for you, we need to show some signs. We always talk about signs and wonders and falling out, but we need to show some signs of an attitude with gratitude. Anybody thankful to the Lord this morning? I can't hear you. Are you thankful to the Lord for healing you? And she got up, serving and showing an expression of gratitude for what Jesus had done for her. And our motto this morning should be, we should imitate what she did. Whenever we are healed or renewed or dedicated, we should have a fervency about our walk. I never seen so many new Christians don't have the fervency to come to church, don't have the fervency to go to Bible study, don't have the fervency to pray. I remember the times when I came to the Lord, I couldn't get enough church. I couldn't get enough worship. I couldn't get enough prayer. I couldn't get enough being around the saints. Even when we had two services, I was like, I'll be there. He says, we need to be about our Father's business. We need to take notice of what this lady did. She started serving others. For you who don't know the Lord, in the pre-pardon of your sins, because Bible said all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But he made a way. You don't have to jump through no hoops. You don't have to cut yourself up. You don't have to go to a faraway country. It said, for the wages of sin is death. The wages, what you're going to get paid, is eternal separation from God. But God has offered his free gift unto us, eternal life. Romans 6 and 23. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Ain't that good news? That he didn't wait for me to get myself together. He worked with me, amen? Ain't that good that he'll work with you? That you become the righteousness of Christ in Christ Jesus? He died. Didn't he die, as the preachers say? Didn't he die? But early one morning, he got up. Oh, boy, I wish I was in my Baptist church. When they say that, everybody be falling out. He got up, y'all, with all power in his hand. Romans 10 and 9 said, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Then Romans 10 and 13 says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that good news? That's the gospel. That's what Jesus came for. To save sinners like me and you and invite us into the kingdom of God so that we'll be forever and ever with him. Isn't that good to know? That we have a hope. I heard Mark say something about hope. Ain't no greater hope than being with the Lord. I hear the Hebrew writer saying, 2 and 3, he says, how can you neglect such great salvation? I know we're going to be studying about Hebrews, Coach, but I had to get that one in. Amen. How can we neglect it when it's free? And not only that it's free, it's empowering. It's something that only God can work out through us. And just like we read the context of the disciples and the apostles, we have that same power. We able to tap into that same power. Go home and pray for your kids when they see what happened. Go in the room, say it in Jesus' name. They be like, whoa, what's going on? What happened to pops? What happened to moms and them? You know, oh, they've been going in that church, y'all. I know that's where they've been at. But God bless you and heaven smile upon you. In Jesus' name, amen.